Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. In this evening's broadcast, Pastor Brian Grant will begin the fifth message in his series on the seven signs of Christ listed in the Gospel of John. Pastor Grant quotes noted Bible teacher and preacher Adrian Rogers, who says, quote, "God doesn't change us in order to love us, but he loves us in order to change us," end quote. That comes crystal clear when we understand and appreciate the reality of who Christ is in his person and how God's grace comes to us through the beauty and the power of this Savior named Jesus. So if you have your Bibles, please turn with us to the Gospel of John, chapter 5, and listen as Pastor Grant brings his message entitled, Understanding the Person of Jesus. Here now is Pastor Grant.
There was a burglar who only robbed homes left unattended by people on vacation. So one day, he noticed that a family was packing their car, all the luggage was being put in the car, and he figured this is a perfect spot to hit. So that night he showed up at the house, he picked the lock, he went inside, and he shouted into the darkness, "Is there anyone here?" To his surprise, a voice replied, "I see you, and Jesus sees you too." He says, "Who is there?" The voice replied, "I see you, and Jesus sees you too." Wow, he was so astonished. He turned on his flashlight, and when he turned on his flashlight, he saw what it was. It was a parrot, and he was in his cage. Just a parrot in his cage, and as he turned on the flashlight, the parrot said, "I see you, and Jesus sees you too." He was so relieved, he burst out laughing. He turned on the light, and when he turned on the light, he saw it. A massive Doberman Pinscher was under the parrot's cage. And as the light came on, the parrot changed. The parrot said, "Attack Jesus, attack!" Jesus was the Doberman. He was in big trouble. But all joke aside, what is the real Jesus like? This morning, I want to speak to you on the theme, Understanding the Person of Jesus. And I only want to share with you three things about the person of Jesus as we consider this very special theme. In John's Gospel chapter 5, Jesus was in Jerusalem for one of the Jewish feasts. And while he was there, as we read in our scripture, while he was there, he visited the pool of Bethesda. Now, Bethesda was a massive pool there in Jerusalem, and it was packed with a large crowd of sick people. You know, for centuries, the skeptics claimed that this pool never existed. They had a hard time believing this story in the Gospel of John. And so the skeptics said that this is something that John made up. There was no pool called Bethesda. But you know, after centuries, it turned out the pool was covered over. And in 1888, archaeologists excavating near a church in Jerusalem uncovered the pool, and they found that this pool, Bethesda, was exactly where John the Apostle said it was. It was right near the sheep gate. In fact, our group from GCA, when we were in Israel a few months ago, we were right there. Didn't we see it? We saw this pool at Bethesda, massive complex. In fact, we even sang in the church right by the pool at Bethesda. Oh, you'd want to hear us. We were that good. But you know what it tells me? It tells me that God's word is always reliable. Young person, hey, when you go to college and they tell you that, you know, God's word is false and it has errors, I want you to know you can always depend. Yes, teenager, you can always depend upon the word of God because God's word is true 100% of the time. I've been going through a series entitled Seven Signs of Christ, and I shared with you that in the entire Gospel of John, there are only seven of the miracles of Jesus recorded. And so we've been taking one at a time as we've been going through these seven signs of Christ. And I believe, as I've shared with you over and over again, that every single miracle that John records is therefore of great significance, because he is trying to use these signs to help us to recognize that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so what is this sign about? I believe one of the reasons he includes this particular sign today is because of the fact that it reveals three important things about the divinity of Christ. So let's go. Number one, I believe that this sign, this miracle that we just read this morning, it tells us that Jesus is the revelation of God's grace. The visit Jesus made to Bethesda was an amazing act of God's grace. For this was a place of incredible need. Hundreds of poor, hurting people were lying there. People who were sick, lame, blind, and paralyzed. They were there because it was believed that at certain times, an angel would come and stir the water, and the first person in after the angel stirred the water would receive healing. These people were helpless and forgotten by society. Among these helpless, forgotten people was a paralyzed man who had been there for how long? 38 years. This man had been trying for 38 years to be first in the line after the angel had stirred the water, but he could not make it. Can you imagine 38 years you're lying there? 38 years! Some of you are not even 38 years yet. But can you imagine 38 years in one place, lying at this pool with all these sick, helpless people? By now, I'm sure this man had given up hope. But that's when God stepped in. Amen. Jesus was about to reveal God's grace. He went to the pool and went straight to this man. Isn't that interesting? Aren't you glad for grace, for God's grace? In its simplest form, grace is God's unmerited favor. And this helpless and forgotten man was about to experience God's unmerited favor. You may not know this. The society avoided this place for many reasons. They regarded these people as the helpless dregs of society. Remember now, you're in a culture where sickness, in a sense, is believed to be God's judgment. Isn't it a pity that sometimes in churches we're right back there? There are some churches, if you're sick, they believe it's God's judgment upon you. It's some sin you have done. Not necessarily. Sometimes it's because of sin. The mindset in the time of Jesus was that sickness was a result of sin. So therefore, these people were under God's judgment. So I'm going to avoid them. Secondly, these people were so sick that they may die. And the culture said that you should avoid death. You don't want to be around any dead people or death. So I want you to get the context here, to understand the amazing grace, the fact that Jesus shows up at this place, the place where the society had totally discarded. These were the helpless dregs of society. That's what they believed, but not to Jesus. Jesus showed up. I am so glad for God's unmerited favor. Listen, in our darkest hour, God's grace is always available. Oh, I hope you heard me this morning. In our darkest hour, I don't know where you are. I don't know what you're experiencing, but you need to understand, in your darkest hour, God's grace is always available. That's why I love Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 16. I love it, and would to God every believer in Jesus Christ would love this verse and take advantage of what this verse tells us. We're going to put it on the screen for you, and it says this. It says, let us therefore come what? Oh, come on, believer. Come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain what? Mercy, and find grace to help in time of need. Do you have a need this morning? If you have a need, listen, God has made provision for you. He says we can come boldly. If we are a believer in Jesus Christ, we can come boldly unto the throne of grace. Amen. Praise the Lord. That we might obtain mercy. Listen, no matter what you've experienced, I am fully aware that in our congregation are people from every single background. I am aware that there are people here who have been abused in one way or the other. I am aware that some of you were born very poor. I am aware that some of you are still struggling, and God knows all the drama. He knows all you have experienced in your life, and He's saying His grace is available to you. What a tragedy that it is no longer uncommon to hear about parents who abuse their children. We just heard this incredible story. It's almost too impossible to believe that this couple would abuse their children, 13 children, ages 2 to 29. And you've seen it. We've heard about it. But oh, aren't you glad? Oh, some of you, your parents abandoned you, and some of you are still hurting. Some of you still carry the scars because you feel that you were abandoned by your parents. But I'm here to tell you that Psalm 27 verse 10 says, even if my father and my mother abandons me, God will hold me close. Hallelujah. Did you hear that? You may be disappointed in the behavior of your parents, but this morning I'm inviting you to come to a God who will never abandon you. He will hold you close.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
He wants to love you. He wants to extend His grace to you. He wants to shower you with His love and His forgiveness. Sometimes I meet people who feel unworthy. Sometimes they feel unworthy because of their family background. Sometimes they feel unworthy because of how badly they messed up. But I don't want you to miss this. Grace is not for the worthy. Oh, did you hear me this morning? Grace is not for the worthy. Grace is undeserved. Sometimes people even get saved in our church and they want to sit on the back bench in some little cubby hole because they don't feel they are worthy. Oh, thank you, Jesus. None of us were worthy of grace. But by His grace, He has cleaned us up. He has cleansed us. He has forgiven us. He has changed us. And He has now invited us to come boldly into His presence. Listen, forget about your past. A silver dollar was in a gutter all covered with mud. But despite the dirt and grime, it still had value as long as it bore the image of the eagle. Amen. Are you with me this morning? As long as that silver dollar had the image of the eagle, it had value. And I want you to know, as long as you have the image of God, you still have value. Am I right about that? And every one of us, no matter what you've experienced, no matter what you're going through, listen, no matter what you have done, you say, Pastor, you have no idea what I have done. I don't need to know. In fact, sometimes I'm better off not knowing. You know, sometimes in church, folks feel like they need to tell you all the dirt that happened. We don't need to know all the dirt. Sometimes we say too much and we hurt our children because we feel we have to spill all our guts. Spill your guts to God. You don't have to tell me everything. Amen? But listen, as long as you have that image of God in you, and every one of us have that image. We are worth something. We are of value to God. And I don't care how grimy you are. I don't care how much filth you are. You have the detergent of grace can remove the grime. Amen. The detergent of grace. He can remove the grime. Read about a man in the Bible by the name of Paul. They used to call him Saul. That was really his name. What a bad guy. A terrorist. Killed all the Christians. Locked them up. Stand by while they stone Stephen to death. But he got the detergent of grace. Now all of a sudden we forget. We forgot who he was. And thank God we don't have to dwell too much on his past, because what a blessing he has been to all of us. And I'm here to tell you, sir, lady, despite your past, God wants to use you to be a blessing to many because of the detergent of grace. Jesus showed up at this Bethesda. Some Bible scholars tell us that Bethesda means a house of grace. He shows up at the house of grace and he deals with that man. Thank God for what he did there. Adrian Rogers said, God doesn't change us in order to love us. He loves us in order to change us. Amen. You don't have to get fixed before God loves you. Can I be honest with you? God loves you just the way you are. Some of you need to hear that, because your teacher has told you you're not going to amount to anything. Some of your parents have said you're no better than your no good father. But God loves you. And if you would come to him, he will change you from the inside out. You see, he loves us not because we are changed. He loved us the way we are. But because of his love, he is going to change you. And he's going to change me into the person I ought to be. Jesus asked this man at Bethesda, do you want to get well? Jesus is asking you that question. Young person, teenager, preteen, older person. Jesus is asking you that question. Do you want to be made well? You see, he can make you well. Whatever the need of your heart is, he has the ability and the power to change you. He can make you well spiritually. He can make you well emotionally. He can make you well in every single area of your life. The problem is, do you realize what happened when Jesus asked this man? Did you read it in your own Bible? What happened? The man didn't say definitely. The man started making excuses. Well, you'd have thought after 38 years he was ready for a miracle. Well, do you want to be made well? Well, you know, I don't have anybody with me. You know, they've all abandoned me. I didn't ask you that. Do you want to be made well? And he's asking you this morning, do you want to be made well? Some of you are still not saved. You come to church, you've heard the gospel message, but you're still not saved. Do you want to be made well? Oh, I pray that this is going to be your morning. The morning when you say to Jesus, Lord, save me, change me. I want to go your way. Number one, first point I made, Jesus is the revelation of God's grace. But secondly, Jesus is the revelation of God's power. Turn with me to John's Gospel chapter 5, and let's pick up at verse number 7. The sick man answered him, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. That's after Jesus asked him, do you want to be made well? I don't have anybody, sir. But while I'm coming, another gets down before me. And Jesus said to him, rise up, take up your bed, and immediately the man was made well, took up his bed, and walked. Did Jesus hear what this man said? The man said he couldn't even make it to the pool without help. Jesus, the man can't make it to the pool. pool, if he can't make it to the pool without help, how in the world is he going to get up, pick up his bed mat and walk? Jesus knew exactly what he was doing. He was purposely asking the man to do the impossible. I don't want you to miss that, because I'm coming back there in a minute. And immediately, the man took up his bed and walked. I hope you understand the scope of this miracle. This guy couldn't even get to the door. He couldn't even walk from here to there. He now gets up, picks up his bed, and he walks. How did this happen? Because Jesus is the revelation of God's power. That's why. Contained in his command was the power to carry out the command. Are you with me this morning? Contained in the command that Jesus gave was the power to carry out the command, because there is power in the word of Jesus. You know, some people are so accustomed to hearing what they cannot do that they live in a very small box. And as a result, sometimes we find it hard to follow God's leading in our life. This message is for us. This story is for you. This story is for me. Because Jesus is telling some of us here this morning to rise, take up your bed, and walk. Jesus is challenging us this morning to dare to do the impossible. Let me make that sit. Young people, are you with me this morning? Jesus is challenging some of you to dare to do the impossible. You see, Philippians 4:13 says, what I can do, what? All things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things. The impossible is possible through Christ. Now, don't jump up and say, a pastor said, I can dare to do the impossible, so I'm going to run out and do it. No. I can do all things through Christ. Number one, you better make sure you have his leading, his direction, his guidance. But the Jesus who empowered this lame man to do the impossible, I am convinced he has the power to empower us today. So I'm going to say to you, even if you're from a family that doesn't allow you to dream, in God's family you are allowed to dream. Oh, I want to say that again. Even if in your family you are not allowed to dream, in God's family you are allowed to dream, because our Heavenly Father is a God of all power, and Jesus Christ, the revelation of the power of God, can empower me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so this morning, January the 21st, 2018, God is calling on a new generation of dreamers. Individuals who are willing to live in God's power and not be contained in a box.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.